Certainly glad that you're here today to study again from God's Word. We appreciate those that are visiting with us. We have a number of people visiting with us today, and we're certainly happy for that. We'd pray for those that are going to be out of town. We'll be out of town tomorrow, going down to see Paul. They've been announcing Vanderbilt, but it's really Centennial Hospital that he's in. And we'll be down there most of the day. And then traveling at the end of the week as well. Nick's here today, and we'll be doing Nick's wedding next Saturday. So we'll go Friday and Saturday down to Cumberland County. And then drive back late Saturday night to be back here on Sunday morning again. So full week again. I was talking to some of the neighbors around here. I was doing some stuff over here, and the plumber that lives over here in the neighborhood with Jason, Lynette, they were out the other day, and it was hot in here, so I went outside and was walking around the track for a few minutes. And the neighbors, I said, gonna miss Jason. I didn't hear a word. I said, How about the kids? And one lady, she spoke up and she said, "We're losing our city councilwoman. That's what we're upset about." So there was a rising star in the Watterson City politics, and they're losing Lynette, but they'll be busy moving, I understand, maybe this Friday. So look forward to seeing their new house, and glad for that. I've been talking over the last several weeks on the subject of faith, and we've been dealing with Hebrews chapter 10 and 11. And in Hebrews, and in chapter 10, and in verse 38 and 39, he talks about a difference between a saving faith and a failing faith. He's going to talk about the men of old in chapter 11 that had a saving faith. The men of renown, they had gained approval. He talks about it in verse 2 of chapter 11. But he also talks about in chapter 10, in verse 38 and 39, it says, "But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul." One of the things we notice, and it's a fact, or really two facts, that are often overlooked. One is that inactive faith is not saving faith. In John and in chapter 12, John 12 and verse 42 and 43, he says in verse 42, "Nevertheless, many even of the rulers believed in him. Because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him, for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God." So a person can believe and turn around and do nothing about it. Or in James and in chapter 2, in James chapter 2 and in verses 19 and 20, James 2 and in verses 19 and 20, it says in verse 19, "For if you believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless?" So we understand there again that our faith must be active and even saving faith he talks about in chapter 10 of Hebrews can fail and lead to destruction. An example that we see in chapter 11 as we go through some of these is Noah. In Genesis, the 6th chapter, in verse 11 through 18, Genesis chapter 6, in verses 11 through 18, Genesis 6 and verse 11 through 18, we see an example. I always needed examples when I was in school. And especially when I'm working with a computer now, I always need an example so I can go to YouTube most of the time and find an example concerning anything that basically I want to do. But here we see an example, a man named Noah that we're very familiar with. In chapter 6 and verse 11 through 18, chapter 6 verse 11 through 18, it says, "Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. Then God said to Noah, 'The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence, and because of them, I am about to destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms. You shall cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you shall make it: the length of the ark, 300 cubits, the breadth, 50 cubits, the height, 30 cubits. And you shall make a window for the ark and finish it to a cubit from the top, and set the door of the ark in the side of it. And you shall make it with lower and second and third decks.'" So we see an example. See an example that was given. We understand in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." And then in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7, it says, "By faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen." Being warned by God about things not yet seen. Well, evidently they hadn't seen a flood. They hadn't seen about the idea of the earth being covered by water. The entire earth being covered by water, that's hard to imagine sometimes. It's hard to imagine for people today to where they certainly do not believe that. And then he says, "In reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household." Salvation of his household. How in the world, if everything was going to be destroyed, how in the world was that ark going to float? And of course, Noah did this by faith. Very quickly this morning, first of all, I want to talk to you about Noah's faith. And then go back and basically use the same examples again. First of all, he believed in God. He believed in God. In chapter 11, in verse 6 of Hebrews, it says, "Without faith it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him." So he believed in God. Secondly, his faith was based upon God's communication. Why did he do this? He did this because God told him to. God said so. That's the reason that he did this. Why did he believe? Why did he believe there was going to be a flood? Because God said so. A third thing I want you to see here is that he took God's warning seriously. His neighbors. He starts out 480 years old. He builds this ark for 120 years. And his neighbors have to be saying over this 120 years, "Noah, what in the world are you doing?
You're just wasting your time doing this. This is just a crazy idea that here you are spending 120 years of your life doing this. But he took God's warning seriously. He trusted God's plan for safety. That however this worked, building this certain size with gopher wood and with pitch, that this ark was going to be sufficient for the saving of the souls of the people that were in the ark. He trusted God's plan. He followed God's instructions. Exactly. Genesis chapter 6 and then verse 22. Genesis 6 and in verse 22. Genesis 6 and in verse 22. It says, "And thus Noah did, according to all that God had commanded him, so he did." So, he obeyed. He obeyed God's instructions exactly. And he worked to save others. This isn't spelled out really in the book of Genesis. But in 2 Peter and in chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 5. 2 Peter 2 and in verse 5 it says, in verse 5, "And did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness." He was a preacher. He was a preacher of righteousness. He was working to save other people. The result? The result, from what we can understand, is that he became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. That's what he says in verse 7. Very end of verse 7. "And he became an heir of righteousness which is according to faith." I watch a lot of times when there might be hurricanes on the East Coast. I think it was maybe Hurricane Irene years ago. To where they stopped the New York subway system. They got everybody off the bridge because they were worried about the impending danger of that hurricane. But people were going to face a greater tragedy than that hurricane. And they were going to face a greater tragedy here at this time than this flood. They were going to face eternal destruction. And that's the message that Noah was trying to get across to them. The second thing. Not only do we see Noah's faith, but we can go back again and see the faith that is going to save us. What do we need to do? Well, again, we need to believe in God. Hebrews 11, verse 6. "And without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Also, to be rooted in God's word. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. He stated over in James and in chapter 1, and I think verse 21 and 22, he talks about that of the implanted word. You ever plant anything, and after a while it starts to gain some root?
I watched some neighbors one day, and they were just trying to get out just this little skinny root that was in the ground. About three of them out there, and they're all together, and they're all pulling, trying to get that root out of the ground. Finally, they get a shovel out there, and they start beating against that root. And then finally, they do overkill. They wouldn't got a chainsaw. They just cut that thing right off.
When he talks about the Word of God being rooted in your heart, we understand that in a physical sense. We understand that in a physical nature, how hard it is to get roots out of the ground. But how hard is it to get a child of God out of the kingdom? Are their hearts rooted in the gospel and love of Jesus Christ? Maybe our faith will save us. Certainly when we respect God's warnings. In 2 Peter and in chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 3 through 10, verse 10 through 12. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 through 12. 2 Peter 3, verse 10, it says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat. And the earth and its works would be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat?" Do you have respect? Do you have respect for God's warning? Maybe to trust God's provision. God's provision is Jesus Christ. In John, and in chapter 3, and in verse 16, John 3, verse 16, says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him should not perish, but have eternal life." In Acts chapter 4 and in verse 12, Acts 4 and in verse 12, it says in verse 12, "For there is no salvation, or there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." Or in Romans and in chapter 8, in Romans chapter 8 and in verse 1, it says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." See, we're like Noah and his family. And that ark, that's God's provision, Jesus Christ. We need to follow God's instructions. In Mark and in chapter 16 and in verse 16, Mark 16, verse 16. Mark 16, verse 16, it says, "And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be condemned." And then work to save others. Chapter 16 again of Mark, verse 15. "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Now, as we get to the end of the sermon today, when does the faith begin to fail? Well, let's look at it for just a moment. First of all, when God becomes generic, faith begins to fail. Hear people a lot of times now saying, "Oh, we're all just worshiping the same God. We're all going in the same direction." I remember there was a tsunami over in Japan years ago.
And a lot of the religion over there is Buddhism. And one of the things about the tsunami that they mentioned was that people would find other people's wallets. And they would send the wallet back along with the money that was inside of it back to the governing authority so these people could find the people who had lost their wallets and lost their money. And they talk about how wonderful it is for these Buddhists to do that. And what a great God. What a great God he is. Maybe people think, well, yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't know if many Americans would do that or not, be that honest. You know, that's a pretty good religion. That must be a pretty good God. He's probably a God just like our God. No. When your faith begins to fail, when your faith begins to fail, number one, God becomes generic. God becomes generic. Not only that, but secondly, you start to question inspiration. Or accept other authority. I have owned a set of pulpit commentaries for, I don't know, maybe almost 40 years now. But one of the things I was very curious about was different people as they would write the commentary. And one of the commentaries was from fellow from the Church of England, and he wrote with fervor about the inspiration of the Scripture. And he was writing with fervor about especially the Old Testament. We talked about the Old Testament this morning, and a lot of people don't think the Old Testament is very important. And he was writing with fervor about the Old Testament and the inspiration of the Old Testament. And look, I don't know, maybe 150 years later after he wrote that, no Church of the Lord, even anywhere around that area at that time. I think he was from Brighton, England. And still, we understand that people, they question inspiration. They question the ability to accept authority. I think Mark was making a comment this morning about people in the Old Testament, and they almost treat it cafeteria style. I'll take this, I'll take that, I'll take this, but no, I don't want that. Because they reject what they don't like. And in the New Testament, they do the same thing. They reject what they don't like, and they accept what they do like. Avoid speaking evil of hell, eternal punishment. Although, the wave's been growing over the years concerning this. Been notable people within the Lord's church now that are writing concerning this about the fact that no, there's not a hell. All there is just an annihilation. You might serve a little time in hell, but after that, you're just going to be annihilated. You don't have to worry about a suffering through eternity. And people like that. They'll trade that off for a couple of years. If they can just live an immoral life when they want to, well, it's just fine if I go to hell for a while because all I'm going to do is be annihilated later on. Jesus talked about hell more than anybody else. And he doesn't want you to go there. To allow for the salvation of sincere
believers are unbelievers, sincere unbelievers, that you get to the point to where people become so broad-minded that you don't even need to believe in Jesus anymore. And they say that people are going to go to heaven. Become careless about God's instructions about what to do, about worship, about the work of the church. We can bend these rules considerably. Or just show little concern for those that are lost in sin. I was thrilled a couple of, maybe it was a couple of years ago now, I lose sight of time after a while. But I remember one of the cities in Louisiana was hit, and several members of the church, they lost their houses. Or at least their houses were damaged. And there was an appeal out concerning helping these people with their houses. And Churches of Christ, they rallied around this and they sent money immediately to this. And within a period of time, the elders in that church down there had to say, stop. Stop. We've gotten too much money. We're going to send some of the money back. And that was so wonderful. The sad thing is, the fella tried to go there and preach the gospel some 5 years before that, and he couldn't get $10,000. He couldn't raise $10,000. We'll send hundreds of thousands to build people's houses back. We might even send millions to build people's houses back. But when it comes to the preaching of the gospel to save these people's souls and the souls of the people in that community, no, we're not going to do that. That's when a faith begins to fail. When you start only seeing the physical. First Peter chapter 3, verse 18 through 22. Who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine longsuffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. There's also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I use this verse some maybe close to 40 years ago now when Brother Staggs, when he heard me preach, and all I read or quoted was, there is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience towards God. And when I walked out, he said, you left out the most important part. I said, what's that? He said, you left out through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I had. Who's gone into heaven and is the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers have been subject to him. In 1 Peter 3 and in verse 20. Noah was physically delivered from God's judgment upon the wicked world through the flood. In an ark. Hebrews 11, verse 7 says, "By faith Noah, being warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, and prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." Verse 21, it talks about that we're spiritually delivered from God's judgment upon the sinful world through the resurrection of Jesus Christ in baptism. Mark 16:16 again, it says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." In Acts 2 and in verse 38, it says, "Peter said to them, 'Repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, be saved from this perverse generation.'" Romans 6, verse 4, it says, "Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also should walk in newness of life." And the last one here today, and the lesson's yours, Colossians 2, verse 12, "Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through the working of God, who raised him from the dead." The faith that Noah had to save himself and his family. We'd encourage you that if you need to respond to the gospel in any way, come right now while together we stand, we sing.